So may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Slightly anxious about two things now. The first is if I wander around a bit, falling again into the pool. And the second is my dressing room is fine, but it didn't have a mirror. So I'm just, you know, worried about my hair. Not too much, though. It's a real thrill to be here sharing in the service today. It would be at any time of year, but actually, particularly at this time of year for me, because I spent 8 days last week, from 2 weeks ago to last Sunday, prayer walking across the city of Oxford, where I live, and which is the small bit of the diocese that I look after myself as the area bishop, not simply as the bishop of the whole diocese. And across this prayer walk, I travelled 5 days on foot and walked over 50 miles, 100,000 steps on my Fitbit, and it was very happy, kept exploding with joy. And one day on the canal and the river on a narrowboat, I visited, and this was my target, I visited all 46 Anglican churches in the city of Oxford. And I prayed in them, and I blessed them, and I met with about 800 people, and we prayed together. And we were praying for the renewal of this ministry, walking with people to baptism and confirmation and seeing people come to faith in every church and place. So it's a real delight to be here today and sharing in baptisms and confirmations as part of that. I want to talk to you a little about the story of Bartimaeus and about the wonder of seeing things. It's one of the most wonderful stories in the Bible and in Mark's Gospel in particular. And it looks like a really simple story when you first read it, perhaps like many of Jesus' other miracle stories. In fact, it's really distinctive and different, partly because of the place it comes in the Gospel of Mark. It comes right at the turning point, at the end of Mark chapter 10. The first 10 chapters of Mark are about the ministry of Jesus. And then in chapter 11 through to chapter 16, we explore the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, the passion of Jesus. So this comes right at the end of all of those chapters about who Jesus is because of his ministry, and right at the beginning of who Jesus is because of his death and resurrection. And we have a blind man who cannot see, but who does know something about who Jesus is, who, when he hears that Jesus is coming, cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," giving us most of what's been one of the greatest prayers of the Christian church, the Jesus Prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus doesn't hear him at first, and they call Bartimaeus closer, and Bartimaeus keeps on calling out, and he cries again, and Jesus hears him and turns to him and says, really interesting question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And again, that's been a shaping verse of reflection about prayer for centuries. You might want to imagine Jesus saying that to you this morning as you come to the service. "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says, "Let me see again. Let me see more clearly. Let me see who you are. Let me see the world around me. Let me see again." So I want to talk a bit this morning about the wonder of seeing and how Jesus enables us to see more clearly. Hands up anybody who's ever had their eyes tested. Yeah, okay. I had my eyes tested today. And I, when I was just on Friday, actually, and I Googled, it's quite amusing to Google funny eye tests. This was one of the more polite ones I found when you're there. But it's really interesting to reflect when you're having your eyes. I'm really short-sighted. If I take my glasses off, I'm afraid you're just a blur now, and I haven't a clue who I'm talking to, so I'll put them back on. When I was younger, I was no good at sport because I couldn't see to play Now they have all kinds of fancy contact lenses and things, but then they did it. And I used to play rugby like this. They would put me in the pack when I was playing rugby, and I would run with the pack, and then every so often something would happen, and I'd fall down or get knocked over, and then I'd stand up again and look for where the biggest concentration of people was on the field and run towards it, and the whole thing would kind of go over and over again. I couldn't see at all. And one of the wonderful things is when you're short-sighted or long-sighted and you put some glasses on, everything comes into focus. The next slide, please. If you know the difference between seeing out of focus and seeing in focus. Out of focus, in focus. And if you have your eyes tested and you're short-sighted, you know the optician puts that little lens over your eyes and says, better, worse, until it gets into focus. If you don't have anything wrong with your eyes, imagine twisting a camera lens and bringing something into beautiful clarity of focus. One of the key differences Jesus makes in our lives is that Christ brings the world into focus. Christ brings the world into focus and helps us to see the world as it is by having a central point in our life and faith and the whole universe to which to relate everything else. We may not see everything absolutely clearly. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, this side of eternity, we see through a glass darkly. But with Jesus, we see in focus, and everything else falls into place. Our first reading is a special reading for our diocese this year. Tomorrow, I'm sending a letter to all of the clergy and lay ministers in the diocese, asking them to set this passage and another one from a little later in Colossians at the heart of all of our thinking and pondering this year as we seek to be a more Christ-like church, as we put Jesus at the center of what we do so everything else falls into perspective and into focus. And I guess when you heard that read this morning, unless you know the passage well, you thought, well, there's a lot in there, but I can't really get my head around it this morning, and that's right. So I'm asking everybody to spend a year really thinking about what these words mean and bringing things into focus. When we see Jesus, we become deeper and more contemplative. Next slide, please. We become a more contemplative church when we set Christ at the center. But there are other ways of seeing more deeply. A few weeks ago, at the beginning of the summer, I was eating dinner with some of my family, and I was eating a fish pie. It was a fish pie that I'd made, so this is entirely my fault, this story. And I swallowed a fish bone. And had it been a normal weekend, I would have probably hoped it would go away. But my daughter, one of my daughters is a doctor, and she was staying with me, and she took me off to A&E. She was very concerned about this fishbone. And they took me to A&E, and I waited for almost 4 hours in accident and emergency, and Amy waited with me. And then they gave me an X-ray. If we could have the next slide, please. That wasn't me. though there are some similarities. They gave me an X-ray, and you could see the fishbone stuck behind my voice box. And then they tried to see a bit more deeply by putting a camera up my nose. I know. And down into my throat. And they decided that they were going to have to put me under an anesthetic to remove this fishbone. So I woke up a few hours later with the fishbone in a bottle next to the jar. And like all good fish stories, it was enormous. It was absolutely fantastic. But they needed to see inside and behind what was going on. And so do we. And actually, Christ helps us to do that by showing us the wonder of what it means to be human, how complex and mysterious our mind and emotions and heart is, and how much there is going on inside, and how much we are to treasure that. The next slide, please. This is from one of my favorite films, Inside Out, which I love because it shows how mysterious and wonderful human beings are, and how our emotions and our memories and the things that happen outside affect the stuff that's going on inside. And we do not think in our world enough about what is going on inside the mind of every single person here, some of which we understand and some of which we don't, even about ourselves, still less about other people. And Christ shows us, because of all the wonder of his love, just how much there is to every single person. And as we ponder Christ and we dare to look at ourselves truthfully and see how much stuff is going on inside us that needs putting right, and how much we need forgiveness and grace, and how much we need the love of others, so we slowly realize that actually everybody else around us is like that too. And we become, if we have the next slide, a more compassionate church, because we understand how complex and difficult life is, which is one of the fundamental things the Christian faith teaches. Life is not easy, it's hard, and how much we need each other's understanding and love and support, and how much we need God's grace. And there's a third way Jesus helps us to see better. If we would say, Lord, I would see. One of the things I've always suffered from, and it's a small thing in life, is I'm colorblind. Those who know me well would say that explains a lot of my choice of clothes and that kind of thing. But I've never been able to distinguish red and green and blue and purple, which is unfortunate given my the fact that I have to wear purple all the time. It doesn't usually affect me, but some months ago I went to an event in Milton Keynes, and they said to me before the service, they gave me a bowl of Smarties, which they were linking to the intercessions, and they said to me, Bishop, your only job in the service is, when we ask you to, is to pick out a Smartie at random and tell us what colour it is. And it's one of those you had one job things, and I had to say, well, I can't do that. So I'm colourblind. And a few years ago, one of my sons, who was very into technology, bought me for Christmas this pair of spectacles, which are fairly recent technology, and they correct color blindness for certain signs when you're outside and for certain kinds of color blindness. And so I've seen the world when I wear these glasses through slightly different lenses ever since. But that's nothing compared to the difference between seeing life in black and white and seeing life in color in all its different dimensions. I wonder if we could just flip back and forth between those two pictures once again. Seeing life in black and white and seeing life in vivid color. And life with Christ is like moving from that black and white picture of the world to that colored picture of the world. It's hard to describe just how much difference it makes until you experience it. The textures and the shading and the complexity of life is more breathtaking and more subtle and deeper. It doesn't mean you have easy answers to every single question. It does mean you have a different way of seeing the world, firm ground on which to stand, and a way of looking at the past, the present, and the future, which enables good decisions to be made. So seeing well with Jesus, if we move on to the next slide, helps us to be a more courageous church and make good decisions. We're called in all we do as Christians and as a community together to be like our Savior, to be like Jesus Christ. And we make our prayer to Jesus, help us to see. Help us to see and understand ourselves and our world and what you require of us in our generation. And that begins with that call to be a contemplative people who spend time with the Lord and reflecting with Christ. A compassionate people who know what it means to live in a difficult world and therefore have compassion on others. And a courageous people who will bear witness to our faith and plan it with imagination for our futures and other futures in the decisions we take. So we're praying for our candidates today, those who've been baptized and all those who are now to be confirmed, that with Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they would be able to see well for the whole of their lives. Amen.